We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
The Hockman and Crowder simulcast extravaganza on a Friday, night before Canes and Gators.
Woo!
My Hurricanes against Channing Crowder's Florida Gators.
Say my name lower than yours.
This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. So Chris Fowler will be on the call Saturday night, tomorrow night, in Orlando. And 7 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. I have tormented Channing Crowder all week. The past few weeks, really.
Yes.
Michael Irvin, the playmaker. He was the first guest that we had when we moved into these new studios.
It was a month ago.
Gino Toretta, Jarrett Payton, Tuan Russell, Manny Diaz, Mark Richt, numerous others. Now, luckily for Crowder, I'm guessing that Chris Fowler won't talk smack to you. He can actually speak on the X's nose.
Chris Fowler has no side and no emotion behind it, so I think he's just going to talk
okay,
honestly.
So you can finally relax a little for the first time in a couple of weeks. Chris Fowler is there. Hello, Chris.
Be careful that Channing doesn't have, like, a season's worth of payback to you. I mean, you seem pretty confident in the Canes. Hello, fellas. First of all, apologies for missing the other day. I know you beat up your producer. It was totally my fault. One of those Miami Beach things. The city inspector flunked the install of our new hurricane-proof windows. So they were ripping out windows. It was a violent enterprise that was going on that needed my full attention. So I did not mean to miss my slot, but I hope I can make it up for it today.
We absolutely forgive you, and I hope that I hope the forgiving mood will extend to next week when Crowder needs to forgive me for smack talking the Hurricanes,
okay.
Because I believe that the Hurricanes will shock the world. But you know, I mean, obviously, you
do you really? Do you, I mean, are you just?
I mean, I went there.
I don't know.
From,
I don't know your groove well enough to know if you're just an emotional fan or if you're just lining up your partner. Or if you have that belief,
there's several things at play. I'm an emotional fan. I went to UM from 87 to 91. And so it was just such a great era of football. I don't like Channing Crowder. I hate working with him for the last 5-6 years. And so anytime I can get under his skin, I will do so. And I can dance verbal circles around him at all times. So I take advantage of
it. You could talk about the Peach Bowl. You can't. I think you can say less about this matchup than you could go back to the Peach Bowl against the Canes.
Well, I didn't have to go back.
I believe was how you went out. I hate to bring up a bad memory. That was your finale with the Gators, was it not?
Yes, sir. I was in that game, and I remember Devin Hester running past me, and all I heard was a whistle. And I said, what was that that just passed me? And it was Hester.
Well, we didn't go back further than 2003 when Channing Crowder's defense was out there on the field against Brock Berlin and the Hurricanes, and Brock
Ooh.
Berlin orchestrated a comeback. In fact, Brock Berlin came on with us last week and just toyed with Crowder, really for the second time in his career, just toyed with Crowder. So, yeah, he's been reeling.
Well, I'll tell you, I was in Gainesville yesterday. I visited both teams each of the last 2 days. So I was in Gainesville yesterday, and the Gators are definitely filled with belief. I mean, they believe wholeheartedly, not just these little snippets, not the clickbait stuff you see. They really believe that their foundation coming from the SEC, they see – much higher caliber teams in Miami week in, week out. They are not terribly worried about this game, I'll be honest with you. I sense some confidence from the Canes too, but the Gators, based on the way they finished last season, based on the hype coming in, they're feeling good about themselves. I'll say that.
Chris Fowler is with us. He'll be on the call tomorrow night on ESPN. Florida is a touchdown favorite. We've talked about it. And they've got a known commodity in their quarterback, right? You know what to expect from Felipe Franks. And Miami will trot out Jaren Williams for the first time, which is, I mean, that's the big wild card, I guess, for everyone watching. So what do you know of Jaren Williams?
Oh, he's improved a lot. When I was there in the spring, I wasn't watching his reps that closely. I think the perception was he was the real dark horse, the third guy in the race. I was actually impressed by Perry in the spring. But then I come back in fall camp, and I see that Williams really has worked on his physique, leaned out. I thought he kind of looked, can I say, dumpy when he first arrived. He didn't look like an elite quarterback. I think he would admit that. Now he does. His poise, his calm. I think he's grown up a lot. Now, I think it's a long play that Manny Diaz and Danny Nuss are making. I don't think they expect him to set the house on fire here Saturday night against a defense that salty. But I do think they will not have a quick hook. They're going to let him develop. They're making the choice based on what they think is the best for the overall season, because it is a risk, as you guys know. You could go with Perry. He's been under fire at least. He has ups and downs, but he's not completely getting baptized like Williams is. So they must feel like there's a good reason, and I think it's about the whole year, not this game.
And, Chris, what about Franks? Because I wasn't a huge fan of McElwain. I think they gave him the job with that Colorado State background.
You weren't, huh? How could that be? How could you not be a huge fan of McElwain?
Listen, Chris, this man here runs me hot. I was getting recruited by Spurrier. Now McElwain's sitting there with that goofy stuff in the pregame. He got to me.
I saw the head ball coach yesterday. I had a great time hanging out with Spurrier yesterday, just so you know, Channing. But anyway, go ahead and ask your question. I didn't interrupt.
It's so cool that he has an office that says head ball coach on it, but he doesn't coach any football. I wish I'm Spurrier.
Yeah, it just says HBC. It's beautiful.
And it's awesome. Do you believe in Franks? Have you personally seen him change with Dan Mullen? We know what he does with quarterbacks. We've seen his, you know, with Tebow and when he left Florida coming back. Like, did you see the transformation once Mullen got his hands on Franks?
Absolutely. But I saw it not from the beginning of the season. I saw it at the end of the season. I think that watching some tape, we don't cover the SEC package. I don't really call Florida games, so I had to back up and dive in a little deeper to them. And you see the development. You see the South Carolina game where he comes off the bench after a horrendous game at Missouri, scores a touchdown, shushes the home fans. I think he's grown up, Channing. You've been around quarterbacks at the elite level. I don't think Felipe has a natural, innate QB swagger like a lot of guys do, which is a little weird because he's 6'6", 240, and can throw it through a wall. He's got the physical tools. Usually you get a moxie and a natural confidence that comes with that. He's had to develop that. He's had to learn to tune out the static. Who gives a crap what's being said on Twitter and Insta after the game? He's deleted those apps from his phone. It's a smart thing. He's got to tune it out and play ball. When he does, he's very, very capable. And it's not just him. I think it's what's around him in terms of playmakers. I mean, the Gators will roll out dudes that are going to give the Canes some headaches to cover. I mean, you know about their known commodities. You know Van Jefferson. You know Josh Hammond, Freddie Swain, Kadarius Toney. The top seven pass catchers are all back. They're all fast. And they're a handful. So if he can just get a little protection, because his O-line ain't going to do well against Miami's front. I really don't think they're going to block him up all day. I think they're going to have to hit some three-run homers. And the Canes are well aware of being on the lookout for the deep ball. But you know what? You say known commodity. I still want to see more. I want to see him build on how he finished last year. He certainly got the tools. He's a smart kid. He's got a humility about learning. I like you know, what the vibe that he gives off when you talk to him one-on-one. I just don't know if he's a finished product yet. I think he's still got a ways to go. Miami defense can make you look bad. And if he goes out there with the pressure of, hey, we're the Gators, we're a contender, I'm going to have a great year, you know, he's got to handle that. And I'm not saying he's not capable. I think he's more than. But, and Mullen, you're right about that. He's worth points on Saturday calling plays and being a quarterback whisperer, and of course he's had a huge effect on Franks.
Chris Fowler is with us. He'll be on the call tomorrow night in Orlando, ESPN, Canes and Gators. You've done a million games, Chris. True or untrue, sometimes the team with no pressure, which is the unranked team, Miami, plays a better, more relaxed game than a top 10 favorite.
Of course. I mean, I don't know if you consider this in some ways like a bowl game. It's that kind of matchup. It's a lot of buildup, a lot of practice, a lot of hype about it. And I think sometimes in bowl games, the hungrier team wins. Now, typically, an opener, both teams get everything to play for. Here's what I would say, and I think your switchboard is going to blow up, and Canes or Gator fans are going to have an overreaction to what happens tomorrow night. And I'm not here to, like, puncture the hype in the game. That's the last thing I'm supposed to be doing. But I do think that people are going to get too caught up in what it means. Listen, if the Canes get thumped, it doesn't mean it's going to be a terrible year. It doesn't mean Jaren Williams is a bad choice. It doesn't mean Manny Diaz can't coach. If the Canes pull the win, doesn't mean they're going to the playoff. Doesn't mean Florida's garbage. You know, it's – I think that there's more at stake for Florida. Therefore, there's more pressure. Miami is still, I think, more in the building process. But, you know, fans down there and everywhere are going to overreact. It's just a little cautionary note. It doesn't matter what I say. People are going to have their opinion after the game. But, you know, my hope is always the same thing, that it's close and goes down to the wire. And you know, the people put on a good show because the whole nation's watching these players, all of the teams, nothing to do but sit around, wait for their seasons to start. So these players are pretty aware that, you know, there is a big stage, and there's sometimes some pressure that goes with that.
And you brought up the Gators O-line and the Canes O-line. Is that what it is? We talked about it. That's kind of the narrative. But is that what it is after you've done the studying, where it's which one of these O-lines can hold up the best to give the quarterback a chance to make plays?
Exactly. I would put it almost exactly the same way, except I think which offensive line will be overwhelmed the less. Because I think they're going to get whipped. There's going to be moments where they look bad. You know, you'll get one Gator offensive lineman that really played any meaningful snaps in the ball game against Michigan. So they're not all young, but they're not very experienced together. And I think that, you know, Miami's, you know, Garvin's had a massive camp. He's unblockable. Trevon Hill will help. I think that Rousseau, they got some young freaks that they'll rotate in there and get at the quarterback on third down. I like Jonathan Ford inside. I think that Naruka, the transfer from UCLA, can help them. I think they're, and I think obviously the linebackers at the Canes speak for themselves. Yeah. So I think they're going to make Florida's O-line look bad at times, but can they do it often enough to really rock Frank's world, prevent the deep shots? Miami's offensive line's not going to, they're not going to, you know, move the Gators around and create these long drives either. I'd be surprised if DJ Dallas has creases to run through, but hey, I could be wrong.
I don't know what you're hearing, Crowder, but I'm hearing a lot of code for "I love the Miami Hurricanes" and "those Gators better look out." I don't
didn't hear any of that.
I'm reading between the lines. I don't know about you, Chris.
I love the Canes punter.
That guy is great, right?
That dude is awesome. I love all the Aussies fellas because I go down to Australia for tennis right after the football season, and I always speak to that camp of kickers. And these are some hard scrabble dudes who are trying a new sport, because they've all played Aussie football. They're all good athletes. They can all kick with either foot. And then they cast their lot. They get a free education. They go halfway around the world, and they start over. Here's a 24-year-old dude who's lucky enough to land in Miami. And ink everywhere, just a really interesting, but a smart, cerebral guy too. But I asked him, you know, I said, I don't know if you call these individual tattoos. It's kind of all just one. They all kind of just blend together from like neck to ankle, but is there one? And he goes, yeah, I have a favorite. It's the cow being abducted by the alien spaceship. Is there anything else you have to say?
He's an interesting bird.
Anything else you have to say about the dude that he has a tattoo of a Hereford cow getting abducted by a spaceship? On his arm.
Lewis Headley is the punter Chris Fowler's talking about. He's an Australian kid. Says he's 24. He could easily be 30. But you know, you see what Chris Fowler did there? It was essentially the, well, she's got a nice personality. Because I'm like, I'm hearing a lot of hype about the Canes. And he said, well, I do like their punter. That took a direction.
That was not a conscious gear shift right there at all. I just, you know, one of my takeaways from the practice field of Coral Gables, I hanging out with Jimmy Johnson, hearing him tell old stories. He had me rolling. He's the legend. And he's still a huge college football fan. He and Bradshaw, all they do on Saturdays is watch college football as they're getting ready for the Fox NFL show. So, you know, he had me rolling with old stories about his early days in coaching, and you know, that and the cow abducted by the spaceship. Those were two strong takeaways from practice for me.
Hey, Chris, everybody down here is excited. I actually don't like that Manny Diaz went to Miami because I believe in him as a coach. He's going to still recruit. He's going to get Miami back on top where they should be, and the Florida teams will be there. What's that transition for a D.C. to head coach? Like, how difficult is that transition? Because we love Manny. Manny had that top defense, the turnover chain defense. Like, everybody knows Manny Diaz's name, but we've never seen him on the sideline as a head coach. Is that a hard transition for him to make week one against the Gators?
I think it can be. I can't speak from experience. I know he's taken it seriously. He's taken some steps to try to get ready, Channing. He ran the scrimmages like they were games so he could practice his head coach game management. You know, typically when you scrimmage, as you know, but fans may not, the one offense will go and they'll take a few reps. If they go three and out, they'll go right back out there. But he didn't do that. If they punted, boom, out comes the number one defense against the number two. He ran it like it was a real game so he could get a sense of the flow and what his responsibilities were going to be like, you know, clock management, decision-making. I think he's still heavily involved in the defense. I think he's going to let Danny Enos run the offense and do the play calling. But I think that it is a transition. Everybody that's made that transition says it. I do think it's a little easier that he's not going to be calling the defenses on a play-by-play basis. He's going to be involved. But listen, he's a smart dude, a lot of respect, former ESPN production assistant, as you probably know. So I love the background. I love the outside-the-box thinking. I believe in him. He's a great fit at Miami. I like him a lot, so I do wish him success. But I think there's an adjustment. We'll see. You know, we'll find out. I think if anybody can make adjustments on the fly, I think it's him.
Chris, on the way out, we have awesome texters and interaction with our show, so they wanted to wish you a happy 31st birthday because we've heard it was your birthday, so happy 31st, Chris.
Thank you. I was 4 years old when I was hired by ESPN. It was a very controversial hire at the time. So
it panned out well for them, though.
I put this in football terms. I put a riddle out there on Twitter, and I never want to overestimate the intelligence of my followers because they follow me after all, right? So. But I said, here's a riddle. Yesterday I was Lawrence Taylor. Today I'm Tom Jackson. Now, for football fans, immediately, especially a linebacker, you're going to get that right away. I mean, a lot of people had no idea, but that was my way of announcing that it meant that today was anything. So, and most people did get it. So take your pick. I'm either Carl Banks or Jack Lambert on deck.
Well, we do appreciate you sharing your birthday with us today. Chris Fowler will be on the call tomorrow night in Orlando, ESPN, the Hurricanes, and the Gators. And we are looking forward. We have been talking about this for a long time. We are looking forward to it. So have a good call tomorrow
night,
Chris.
Tell me about it. Week zero is here. Here we go. We'll do it again. We'll do it again sometime. I enjoyed it, fellas.
There you go. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, you bet.
Chris Fowler there. It was worth the wait, huh? It was a couple-day wait, but it was absolutely worth the wait.
He sounds just excellent. Like it does on TV.
Man, he's got that Kane swagger.
Yes, what?
He's expecting a Kane's ass kicking.
That's what you gathered from that?
You didn't get that?
Come on,
is that what you heard,
man.
Solana?
That's what I heard.
That's what I heard.
Oh, my goodness.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.